Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of Future Brew right here on MazeandBrew.com. My name is Vaughn Lozon. Joining me today, as always, to hop back on the recruiting train here for U of M, Maze and Brew recruiting contributor, John Simmons. John, how are you doing today, my friend?
Good. Getting pumped up watching all this defensive tackle film.
Yeah, well, it's. I have a feeling that we're going to probably be doing that quite a bit during this cycle, with a lot of guys emerging and a lot of up and comers, especially the guys that U of M has been offering a lot lately, a lot of unranked guys, a lot of guys that are just hitting the scene here as all of the recruiting guys would say they're up and comers. They're on the rise. They're rising prospects. That's what we're dealing with here. And that's what Michigan's going to be dealing with as well, considering that they've got a hole to fill, this void from the decommitment of Alex Van Sumeren from last week. And we'll talk about that right off the bat here, John. And I think this is a pretty big loss here for Michigan, four-star defensive tackle from Essexville, Michigan, in that Bay City, Saginaw area. He was 6'3", 285, and he decommitted from Michigan last Thursday. He was the top-ranked player in Michigan's 2022 class. Obviously, the brother of Ben Van Sumeren, who entered the transfer portal one day after he decommitted from Michigan last Friday, was the first commit in the class for U of M, had been committed since December 16th of 2019, so he had been a long-time verbal pledge to the program. Since that decommitment, he had picked up a few offers. He's got one from Virginia, Arizona. Obviously, Tom Brown down there offering every Michigan prospect that they don't want anymore. So he's got Arizona and Virginia, also Boston College and Indiana. Already had offers from Alabama, Penn State, Michigan State, Stanford, and a lot of other schools there. So his recruitment is really starting to pick up. So Michigan now only has one defensive tackle in their class committed, and they're going to be going after a lot of other guys. But let's just start with, John, your initial reaction from the decommitment, and how big of a loss is this moving forward for Michigan? Because I thought he was a real nice prospect.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking at first just to see a guy whose brother is on the team was committed so long, ended up decommitting. But then your mind immediately goes to, is like, oh, I wonder if Ben Van Sumeren is on the move soon. And that turned out to be what happened. So once he entered the portal, it makes a lot more sense. So it's definitely never a good thing when the top guy in your class decommits, but I think Michigan can weather it a bit. They do already have the one defensive tackle and lots of time to get a few more. So I think they can weather this pretty well. I think that both the Van Sumerens were looking for a defense that better fits them. I think Alex is more of a, I think you'd be a better three tech in a 4-3 defense. He'd probably be a defensive end in Michigan's new 3-4 base. So I could see him also wanting to find a scheme that works well for him. And it is interesting to see all these schools offer him now once he opened up, just because he's a guy that committed so early. I'm sure a lot of schools just didn't even bother because they figured he would be a lock to Michigan. So I think he's definitely a quality prospect, as you know, all the new offers show, but I'm not sure he's going to be a very, you know, likely option for Michigan moving forward.
No, I kind of think that ship has sailed. I think with this decommitment, it's very seldom that you see guys decommit from a class and then end up recommitting at the end of the day. Obviously, there have been exceptions in the past, Aubrey Solomon being one of the higher-ranked players that comes to mind, but that was for obviously a different reason for his decommitment. But with Alex Van Sumeren decommitting, like you said, you find out a day later that Ben Van Sumeren enters the portal, the writing's kind of on the wall for both of those guys moving forward within that Michigan defense. Had they stayed on, it wouldn't have been a good scheme for either of them. I think it's best for them. It's best for U of M. Obviously wish them the best moving forward in their futures there, and hopefully they're able to land somewhere pretty well. It would be pretty awesome to see them both play together in college at some point if they're able to attend the same university. It would be a good opportunity for them. But with Alex Van Sumeren picking up these offers and things along those lines, you definitely don't expect him to end up coming back to Michigan to recommit by any means. I definitely don't anticipate that. I think Sean Nua and Mike McDonald and those guys are going to move on to other defensive tackle targets moving forward. Obviously, things can change. Maybe there's a change of heart from Alex Van Sumeren down the road, but at this moment in time, I don't expect him to end up coming back to Michigan's 22 class. So lots of other good prospects, though, on the defensive tackle board, and a lot that have been emerging within the last month or so here. And obviously they're going to go swinging for a home run for Walter Nolan, who is the number one defensive tackle in the class. He's the number one player in the state of Tennessee, number two overall player on the composite at 6'4", 300 pounds. He put out a top 10 recently, last Friday, I believe, and put Michigan in that top 10. And it seems like Michigan's in a pretty good spot with Walter Nolan. Obviously, this is going to be a very tall mountain to climb here with other schools like Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State. I mean, it really is a who's who top 10 for Walter Nolan, as you would anticipate with him being the number two overall player in the class. But a guy that they offered recently that I think we should touch on here is Jordan Phillips, and he's an unranked player at this moment in time. But I think he's going to burst onto the scene here. Whenever they end up doing their re-ranking here, John, I think he'll end up as a three-star. I don't anticipate him being unranked for much longer. He's got some pretty good offers other than Michigan with Auburn, Iowa State, Miami, Florida, Missouri, and Pittsburgh. So he's just slowly beginning to emerge as a prospect here. A 6'3", 290 from Ocoee, Florida. So I would anticipate him moving up in the rankings at some point soon. Definitely a guy that Michigan will recruit moving forward, and definitely a space eater. If you've seen the tape on this guy, he's a pretty big dude, and a guy that Sean Nua, as his primary recruiter, is probably going to go after pretty hard here.
Yeah, and I think looking at the few offers he has so far speaks a lot to his ability. You know, Iowa State's known for unearthing these gems and, you know, can actually be hesitant to offer guys because they know other schools will follow him. You know, Pittsburgh has one of the best defensive line coaches in the country, and they put a few guys in the league so far, Auburn and J. just had an amazing defensive line class. So I think these are good schools to be in a group with that know their defensive linemen. And I think this is a George Hilo offer from, given he's from Florida. I'm not sure about that, but I think he'll have a good impact on Phillip's recruitment here. I'm excited about him. He, I don't know how he slipped through the cracks really. He's definitely a power five player from his film. He's very quick off the snap and aggressive. You know, I like his game a lot. And I think don't pay attention to the unranked status right now. I think the ranking services have a lot of players to catch up on with all the COVID stuff happening. So right now I just say, look at the offers he has and, you know, watch the tape for yourself and you'll definitely see a quality prospect that Michigan would be lucky to have.
Yeah, he got offered back in December. Definitely a quality prospect, like you said. Our good buddy Bryce Maritch over at the Michigan Insider spoke with him back in December when he landed that offer and said that one of his friends just so happens to be Joe Milton, the quarterback at U of M. So that's always a good thing to have in your back pocket, a little feather in the cap there, if you will. Those things definitely go a little ways there in the recruitments here. So yeah, Jordan Phillip, definitely a good prospect, definitely one to keep your eye on moving forward. And I would imagine that they continue to go after him quite hard. But let's just talk about Walter Nolan real quick, John, since he is the top defensive tackle in the class. Like I mentioned, everybody's going after him at this point, but I narrowed it down to a top 10. And it really seems like at the very least, Walter Nolan's dad is really interested in the maize and blue. Sam Webb over at the Michigan Insider caught up with Mr. Nolan after his son released his top 10. Or I'm sorry, I don't know if it was Sam Webb or not. I think it may have been Steve Wiltfong from 24/7. I think that's who interviewed his dad. But whoever it was, I don't have the article right in front of me. Whoever it was, one of the first places that came out of his mouth when asked, you know, where he wants to go see was Ann Arbor. So at the very least, it seems like the dad is in Michigan's corner there. And Walter's already got interest in Michigan. Being from Tennessee, there's going to be probably some pretty decent interest there. Michigan's already got two guys from that state in their 22 class with Taylor Groves and Cody Jones, the two four-star defensive backs there. So, and Cody Jones knowing Walter Nolan from youth football there. So a couple connections there can definitely go a long way. Get them on campus, see what happens. And Michigan's definitely got a fighting chance for a number one D tackle in the class.
Yeah. I think Michigan always does really well with recruits' parents through recruiting, especially when they get them up on visits too. So, I mean, it's always a plus to have the mom or dad on your side, even though it's usually the player's ultimate decision. But I think, Michigan's really appealing to them. I think his dad said that he knew pretty much that Michigan would be in the top 10. And he listed them along with the other schools like Alabama, LSU, Clemson, all the big time schools. So I think you can say that Michigan's probably in the top half of that top 10. So that's good to see it. And yeah, it's going to be a battle. It's probably going to go to at least the early signing period, if I had to guess. So this is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. So you just got to buckle in and keep chipping away. And, you know, it's a recruitment that you don't expect to win. And you're just going to be pleasantly surprised with if they do get him.
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. You always go swinging for the fences when it comes to these guys at the top of not only just your board, but at the top of the class. And these kind of guys, Walter Nolan's, they don't grow on trees. They're going to be top targets for all of these schools moving forward. Definitely a guy that would be a welcome addition to the class. He is a stud. Go watch that film too. That's pretty scary stuff if you're an offensive lineman trying to guard that guy. Another guy that I think we would be remiss if we didn't bring up is a three-star defensive tackle prospect from, who would have thought, it's the state of Texas, and it's Jaden Scarlett. at 6'2.5", 260 from Flower Mound, Texas, number 420 overall on the composite, number 33 defensive tackle. He's got that Michigan offer, Sean Nua being his primary recruiter. Got some other pretty good offers as well. Texas A&M, Utah, they're known for their defensive linemen there. Penn State, Oklahoma State, Nebraska, Minnesota, Baylor, Arizona State. So he's picking up a lot of really good offers too. Definitely going to be one to watch moving forward. And again, another guy that, you know, isn't super highly ranked right now, but I think there is a chance that he could also move up into the rankings moving forward. Whenever they end up changing the rankings for the 22 class, it might be a little while here since they've got to go through so much stuff. And some of the football seasons haven't even really started yet with these spring seasons happening because of the pandemic. But again, Jaden Scarlett, definitely one to watch, and a guy that I personally enjoyed watching the film on as well.
Yeah, I like Scarlett a lot too. I think he reminded me a lot of Jaden Phillips. I think they have Jordan Phillips, sorry, pretty similar tape. They're both pretty violent and really quick off the snap, which I liked a lot. I think Scarlett had some good bend too. He's listed right now at 6'2.5", 260. So I think he's going to be more of a defensive end guy instead of the nose, and get him up to 280. I think he would be definitely a good addition. Being from Texas, you know, you can see Mo Linguist and Brian Jean-Marie helping out Sean Nua there as well. They've got good connections down there in Texas. So I think that's something to look out for as well. You know, he doesn't have some of the big time schools, but he's got a lot of the Texas ones. So it'll be a little bit of a battle, but I think it's definitely winnable.
Another guy that's definitely not a 3-4 defensive end. This guy is a middle of the D line guy all the way. And he's of Samoan descent. So Sean Nua has been all over him for quite a while now. He got offered back in July of last year. So this isn't one of those recent additions to the offer list by any means, but this is Peter Teoipu. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly or not. I apologize. I probably butchered it, but 6'5", 350, not on the composite yet, but 24/7 has him as a pretty low 3-star at 84. Number 17 player in the state of Washington, number 53 defensive tackle overall on 24/7's rankings there. But again, this guy is just a straight up space eater, and definitely a guy that you would want to put in the middle of your defensive line. He's got some other pretty interesting offers as well. Arizona State, Colorado, Nebraska have all offered him. And there appears to be some interest from Washington as well, but they have not offered him yet up to this point. So a couple decent offers there. Obviously, with Sean Nua's ties to the Samoan community, there's definitely going to be some interest. They offered him quite a while ago last summer, and I want to say that Michigan was his first offer as well. So there's not a whole lot of competition at this moment in time. But again, we haven't really heard a whole lot about this kid. So I'd be interested to hear about him a little bit more moving forward. But I do think that he is among the targets at the defensive tackle position moving forward here, John.
Yeah, I think we talked about when Don Brown left, him kind of holding back Sean Nua recruiting. I think this is the type of guy that Brown didn't want Nua to recruit as much because he's so big. And I think Brown wanted those, you know, smaller, more athletic guys or quicker guys. But I think now with a base 3-4, Teoipu is going to be, you know, the planet sized space eater in the middle that you need to anchor that defense. So Michigan's going to need one or two of those every class. And I think Nua obviously has liked him for a while now. And now that, you know, he has a little more say in who he's recruiting, I think you can definitely see Michigan paying more attention to him.
I think so too. Were there any other D tackles that you thought that you wanted to bring up at all? Or, I mean, those are kind of the guys that stick out to my mind.
Anybody else? I just want to bring up Hayden Schwartz from Jacksonville. He's definitely going to be a guy that's a defensive end, maybe even an outside linebacker. But you know, you just watch him and he kind of just reminds you of Chase Winovich with like how violent and just the motor all the time. You just have the same mannerisms kind of. So I think he would be a really fun guy to watch too. He's ranked basically the same as Jaden Scarlett as that high 3-star guy, but I think he would be really fun to watch. He just goes, you know, pin his ears back all the time, every play.
Yeah, that's a dude that just hits. He just has no regard for human life when he goes in for a tackle. That's what you get when your father is a former linebacker in the NFL. Brian Schwartz is his father. There was second round pick in 95 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So a real nice player there as well. I think that and he's one of the more recent offers for Michigan. He's been offered within the last few weeks there. And he's got some pretty other good offers as well from places like Stanford and Iowa State, who we've already mentioned, Washington State. Yeah, real nice player. I think he's got a chance to be one of Michigan's top targets at the end of the day and probably another guy that could be a rankings bump a candidate there by the time it's all said and done. So, yeah, I like Hayden Schwartz as a prospect quite a bit too. I think that Winovich comparison is really good because he just – he doesn't stop. He just goes, man. And that was exactly what Winovich was.
You can picture a long blonde mane coming out from under that helmet pretty easily.
Yep. If he doesn't want to grow the long hair, just strap a wig on and throw the helmet on. And yeah, it would look exactly like Chase. it would be a flawless comparison, But all right, well, we will move on here, and we're going to come back from the break and talk about a few pass catchers in the 22 class that you should definitely keep on the radar moving forward. A couple guys that you would expect to hear their name quite often as this recruiting class continues here. But it is now time to talk about home field apparel. And if you don't know what home field apparel is, this is probably your first time listening to the podcast, so welcome, first of all. But Homefield is a premium collegiate apparel brand based out of Indianapolis, and not only is their stuff comfortable, but it is officially licensed gear, so they really do not screw around when it comes to these designs. And the team over there, they study every school's history, traditions, legacies. They create thoughtful designs from that to tell the unique story of each university. And Homefield has some really amazing original Michigan designs that you will not find anywhere else. And they launched that back in the fall, and they've really got some awesome stuff. I picked up some stuff for Christmas for the family, and it was super comfortable, fit great. If you're looking for t-shirts, crew necks, whatever you need, they've got it for you to stay cozy this winter season with all the snow coming in the northeastern part of the country. So if you need some stuff now, some vintage apparel, look no further than Homefield and use the promo code MNB, as in Mason Brew, to get 20% off your whole first order. Again, use that code MNB at checkout, get 20% off that entire first order. Go to homefieldapparel.com, start shopping today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap up the podcast today. We started with defense. We're going to switch to offense here, which we haven't really talked a whole lot about some of these offensive guys that they're going after in 22. I feel like it's just been all defensive linemen, all linebackers, all defensive backs, especially with all of the new assistant coaches coming in. So rightfully so that we've been talking a lot about the defense, but let's switch over to the receivers here. Receiver probably isn't going to be a huge position of need in this 22 class, but there are a few guys out there that I really like, John. Obviously, the top guys, I think, at the end of the day, there's a few of them. Tyler Morris, 6 foot speedster from Illinois. Caleb Brown, who's like a shifty kind of hybrid running back wide receiver. And my personal favorite, which we'll get into in a little bit here, moving forward with some of the down the field, bigger bodied guys, is Darius Clemens. I think that guy's a stud, but let's focus in right now. I just want to get your thoughts and opinions on Morris and Brown. I mean, they've been the mainstay of the targets moving into this 22 class. They're both top 100 kids, both heavily interested in Michigan, and Michigan has a similar interest in them as well. Josh Gattis has really formed a nice relationship with Tyler Morris and Caleb Brown, but it's going to be up to Ron Bellamy now, along with Gattis, to continue those relationships moving forward. So do you think that with the wide receiver board kind of expanding a little bit, do you think that these guys are going to remain those top two targets in this class, or do you think it's going to kind of change up? And how do you think of these guys as prospects?
Well, first of all, I think they're both really great prospects. Obviously, they're in the top 100. They're both great with the football, but more of the inside slot guys probably. So I think at that position as inside guys, they are still going to be at the top of the board. Michigan's going to want, you know, to keep those shifty guys for speed and space, you know, a couple every year. And I think those two will fit the bill. You just kind of got to keep up with them. After leading for so long, things can kind of get stagnant. And I know Ohio State's making a push for Caleb Brown, especially lately. So if they want to keep him locked up, they're going to have to make a push and get him to commit. But I think they're both would be welcome additions in the class for sure. But, you know, I think it's the inside guys aren't quite as much of a need given the type of prospects that Michigan's taken in the last few classes with the Giles Jackson and Mike Sanders still and Xavier Worthy, those types of guys.
Yeah, I think so too. I think moving forward, they're going to need some more of these bigger bodied guys on the outside. And like I kind of alluded to there, Darius Clemens is probably one of the best in the country. He's 6'3", 205, played this past season in the state of Utah because of the COVID pandemic, wanted to still be able to play high school football. So he went over to Utah, had a really nice season. And 24/7, Brandon Huffman, who's one of the recruiting guys out west, compares him to Allen Robinson from the Chicago Bears. So, I mean, that really has a lot to say about Darius Clemens and the abilities that he has on the football field. So I think he is among the best. He allegedly, according to 24/7 here, ran a 4.37 40-yard dash back in the summer of 2020. So really, really a freaky prospect here, John. And that's all I got to say for now. He's just a beast.
Yeah, he's got the rare combination of size and speed that would make him really hard to defend. And, you know, he's originally from the Lansing area, I believe. He grew up like being friends with Andrew Anthony. So yep, that's going to help a lot. And, you know, hiring Ron Bellamy is actually going to help with a guy who's grew up in Oregon and plays in Utah because he's from originally from Michigan. So I think that's going to be a big help and help renew their interest there in Clemens. So, yeah, landing him would be huge. And I think he's definitely looking back to the Midwest schools. He's got crystal balls for Michigan State and Penn State so far. Both of which are, you know, at least 6 months, in some cases over well over a year old. So
yeah,
I think he's pretty open. And with Josh Gattis and Ron Bellamy going both after him, I think Michigan's got a pretty good shot.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the connection with Andrell Anthony might pay dividends down the line. Yeah, these crystal balls are really old looking at these now. The Michigan State one is from 2019. So I don't know where that came from. But the Penn State one was from May of last year. And that's before his recruitment took off. I mean, his recruitment really took off when he ran that 4.37 40. That's when he started picking up a ton of other offers. He got Washington, Notre Dame, Stanford, all in that area. And then he's since picked up Auburn, Wisconsin, Ole Miss, Arizona. So he's really started to pick up the offers there. So I really like him as a prospect. I think he is a stud on the football field. I think he's going to move up the rankings, and he's already highly ranked. He's at 129 overall right now, number 17 receiver. So I think there's a chance that he moves up. And that's really saying something, considering he's already a mid to high ranked 4-star prospect. So I really like him moving forward. I think it would be foolish for Michigan not to go all in on him, because I really think he's a special prospect at the end of the day. In-state kid that we haven't really heard a ton about, John, but I think we will a little bit more moving forward, and that's Jaden Mangum. He plays at Groves High School in my neck of the woods here, in the Beverly Hills, Franklin, Michigan area. He's a 3-star right now in the composite, listed as an athlete. He's 6'3", 185, but he's got some really nice offers, to say the least. He's going to be a good prospect if he's got offers from Bama, Florida, obviously Michigan, Oregon, Penn State, Nebraska. I mean, the list goes on and on for offers that he has received as well. So, again, not a guy that we've heard a lot about, but I think we will hear a little bit more about him moving forward. It seems like there is some renewed interest on Michigan's side of things here with Ron Bellamy hopping on board. I think he's going to start hearing from Bellamy quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with Bellamy on staff. I think they're going to go after him even harder, which kind of, I think, solidifies the fact that he'll be playing offense on the offensive side of the ball for Michigan. I know his brother played for, or also from Michigan, went to play for Mel Tucker at Colorado. So people are thinking that, you know, he was pretty much a lock to go to Michigan State. But then, you know, Jaren Mangum ended up transferring, but not back to Michigan State, to UCF. So I don't think it's a given that he's a Spartan lock right now. And I think Michigan could keep putting the heat on him and eventually get him. And, you know, he's just so lanky, 6'3", 185, like you said. I think he's going to be a great target on the outside.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see his development moving into his senior season. Would love to see him on offense for sure in his final year of high school football. We'll see if that ends up translating to a more interest from Bellamy. I would expect so. Another guy that I would expect more interest from on Michigan's side of things, who holds a couple crystal balls to Michigan State, is Tayshaun Trent, who's kind of in that middle range where he could end up being a receiver, could end up being a tight end. He's 6'4", 205 from East Point, Michigan, so in that Detroit area. He's a composite 4-star, 268 overall, 36th at the position, number 7 in the state of Michigan. Of course, he's going to have the Michigan and Michigan State offers, but he's also interested in Kentucky. He's got a Penn State offer, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, West Virginia, Louisville. So he's got some pretty good offers here as well. Again, another guy that I think Michigan's going to pick up the pace for here with Ron Bellamy on staff. I really like Trent. I don't know why they weren't going after him harder, more sooner. And honestly, I think he, I feel like he could end up outgrowing the wide receiver position, but even so, if you've got him at tight end, watch out, man. I like the way he plays football.
Yeah, it'd be great to see him as kind of that flex tight end type guy. They can, you know, throw the ball up to in the red zone, things like that. You know, he's a pretty interesting athlete. Like, you know, clips on his film even have him lining up as a wildcat guy, you know, close to the goal line.
Yeah.
So I think he's pretty good with the ball in his hands too, which is a good asset for a guy his size at that age. So, you know, this is also good. And it looks like it's going to be a Michigan State battle with Kentucky. Of course, Steve Klingscale is always looking to poach these guys in this range at Michigan too. So I think it's kind of that classic Midwest battle there. Michigan State did just get a couple crystal balls at the beginning of the month, but we'll see about that. I think Bellamy, again, being on staff is huge. He immediately became his primary recruiter. He knows Detroit so well. So I think it's going to be a good race. We'll see if Michigan State can finally pick themselves up off the recruiting mat here and get a signature win that they need. But I don't know if I'm going to count out Bellamy and Shroon more.
One guy that I don't think they're going to pick up the pace for, they haven't even offered this kid. Another in-state guy from Fordson High School in Dearborn is Antonio Gates Jr., which, of course, he's the kid of Antonio Gates, who played in the NFL. You know, that Antonio Gates. I just don't know why they haven't offered him at all. Michigan State has, and they've got all four crystal ball predictions for him. He's a composite four-star, just a shade ranked under Tayshaun Trent. He's 270. And again, I just wish that U of M would offer him and go after him. I think he's a good prospect. I don't know why you wouldn't go after an in-state four-star wide receiver like him. But nonetheless, here we are. Probably going to end up in East Lansing if the Crystal Balls have any indicator there. A prospect that I like that they probably won't go after. So, we're already in February of 21, and I would imagine that with the board expanding, and if they haven't called him yet, and if they haven't offered him yet, they probably won't, especially with all the crystal balls with Michigan State. Obviously, Michigan could jump in the recruitment and give themselves a fighting chance, but I just don't really see much happening here, John.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting him to be one of the guys they offered when Bellamy was hired, but that hasn't happened yet. And, you know, he doesn't have a Notre Dame offer either, which makes you think maybe there's something going on off the field that is making Michigan gun shy, but who knows? I mean, you'd think looking at him, he seems, you know, with his bloodlines and his play in the field, he's definitely the caliber of player that Michigan can go after. So yeah, I know people have been clamoring for him to get offered for a while. You know, you want the son of one of the greatest tight ends of all time on your team, in your program. I think that'd be great for Michigan and, you know, just an in-state guy. So maybe one day we'll figure out what's going on here, but it doesn't look very likely as of now.
Unfortunately, it does not, because who knows? I will probably never really know the full story, but a nice prospect nonetheless. If Michigan State picks him up, that's a good win for them, quite honestly. So we will definitely see what happens there, but I'm not going to anticipate a whole lot happening on the front of Antonio Gates Jr. Let's talk about a pass catcher in the form of a tight end here, who actually just put out his top 13 list, which I know it's a 13 list. It's a lot, but it does ease the burden of the kids somewhat. It's Oscar Delp, who Michigan was the first to offer. When they offered him, he wasn't ranked at all, I don't believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I don't think he was ranked at the time. Yeah. 6'5", 220. Now that Michigan offered him, and a lot of these other schools have, he's a four-star, and he's probably just going to keep rising. He's the number 10 overall tight end on the composite, 235 overall, from the state of Georgia. He's got the Georgia offer. He's got the Michigan offer. Alabama, Auburn, Clemson has offered him as well. They're showing a lot of interest, and it's reciprocated interest. Florida, Florida State, Ohio State, Oklahoma. I mean, he's got offers from everywhere. But funny enough, Ohio State did not make the top 13 list for Oscar Delp. But a lot of these other schools did, Michigan being one of them. They're going to have to fight the likes of Clemson, Alabama, USC, Georgia, Florida, a lot of these other really good schools here. So good to see that they made his top 13 list. Again, I'm not going to take much away from a top 13 list by any means, but he's a real good prospect. Runs a 4.66 40 at 6'4". 212 is what he clocked in at the National Combine. This was already outdated by a year, but with those numbers being from a year ago, you would anticipate those numbers to be better today. So a good prospect for sure. Michigan with already one tight end in the class. can kind of play with house money and gamble on a big rising prospect like Delp, and I think it's smart of them to do so.
Yeah, I think that top 13, there's pretty much an unofficial top three of Georgia, Clemson, and Michigan, which is, you know, a very uphill battle for a prospect from Georgia to get him to come all the way up north. And the fact that he said Michigan was his dream school growing up, you know, is usually a nail in the coffin of a recruitment for Michigan.
Yep, goodbye. Might as well. Sayonara.
Right. So, you know, it's the weird effect of it making me less, like, optimistic. But they were his first offer, which I do think holds weight. And you can kind of see how quickly that recruitment exploded once they were the first ones to take a chance on Delp. So I think that will definitely stand out. And he's definitely more of a flex tight end too. I know, like, Florida's comparing him to Kyle Pitts, which of course they're going to say that, but I think it's more, you know, it speaks to the fact that he's a wide receiver guy, more than like an inline blocker. So I think that's, he's going to be a pass catcher, and I think he'd do well with Marlon Klein in the class already. I think Georgia's got a really deep class of tight ends this year, because they're also going after Holden Stays, who's a Penn State decommit, also from Georgia. So interesting to see how many guys they can land from that state this year to play tight end. But if they had their way, I think Delp would be one of their top guys for sure.
Yeah, well, you beat me to the punch on Holden Stays. I was going to bring him up next. Funny you mentioned the kids from Georgia. It definitely is a talented group of tight ends from the state of Georgia in this 22 class. Holden Stays being from Atlanta, a solid four-star there, 204 overall, number 6 overall tight end. Like you had mentioned, decommitted from Penn State recently, wanted to open up his recruitment now that Penn State's tight ends coach has moved on from the program. And he's picked up he picked up the Notre Dame offer just a few days ago. So Notre Dame obviously being a historically great a tight end school as well. But I would expect Michigan to at least touch base with Holden Stays now that he's decommitted from Penn State, give it a shot. They were very interested in him before his commitment to the Nittany Lions. So I would anticipate them at least touch base with him, check in, see if there's any mutual interest, and then go from there at the very least.
Yeah, you can kind of tell how much they like Stays, given how quickly it was reported that they're going to be going after him again after he decommitted from Penn State. So I think they really like him a lot, and you'll definitely see them going after him until he makes his next decision.
Yep. So he's definitely going to be one moving forward to look for. And then one final guy here, John, is Jason Llewellyn, unranked tight end from Texas. Again, that state of Texas being hit very hard with offers from Michigan over the last month or two. Like I said, unranked, but he's a guy that a lot of recruiting folks are anticipating a move up in the rankings along with Michigan. He has offers from Texas, TCU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Michigan State, Indiana, Colorado, Baylor, to name just a few of those. He's got other offers as well. And he's 6'5", 240, more of a traditional tight end, so to speak, not a flex tight end that's going to go down the field and only go down the field by any means. But a decent prospect here with all of these, a lot of the good offers that he's received over the last month or two. Like I said, I would anticipate a rankings bump here, and a guy that Michigan will definitely keep hitting up down the line here. Jay Harbaugh was the one that extended the offer. I believe that was Jay Harbaugh's first offer returning back to the tight end room. So with him personally giving that offer to Llewellyn, I think he's probably going to be among the top targets at the position now.
Yeah, definitely. Looks like he could be another Delp where he goes from unranked to four-star, top 10 at the position pretty easily. But yeah, Michigan wasn't the first one in on him by any means, but I think they're going to be a major factor, and I think Harbaugh's going to prioritize him for sure.
Yeah, I believe so too. I think with Harbaugh establishing that first point of contact and giving him that offer, I think that's really going to establish that relationship, and they will more than likely continue that moving forward. So, yeah, just a few of the pass catchers here that I think Michigan will be in on moving forward in this 22 class. There's a ton of really good ones. John, who's your favorite among all these guys? Do you have a favorite? Because I already named mine with Clemens. I mean, I think Clemens is a beast.
Yeah, I think Clemens is pretty clearly the best guy after there. But I think in terms of tight ends, I think Delp is really a special player.
Yeah.
You know, out of the guys that could potentially line up in line. So I think Delp and Clemens are going to be the dream tandem there.
Yeah.
If you want Michigan to land any of them.
Yeah. Dream tandem for sure is Delp and Clemens. I think those guys would be studs. They will be studs wherever they end up going, but would be nice to get them in Ann Arbor, that's for sure. John, was there anybody else that you wanted to bring up here? I think I touched on everybody.
Yeah, I think you got everyone I was thinking of.
Okay, awesome. Well, hey, I believe that's going to do it for today's show. John, appreciate you coming on. As always, we'll get Steven back on next week, hopefully. But thank you all for listening. Greatly appreciated. You can follow me on Twitter at @Vaughn_Lozon. And John, where are you, my friend?
At @Simmons_John.
And be sure to follow Maize and Brew on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're everywhere these days. Follow Steven Ossentoski's work on the Maize and Brew YouTube channel, putting out content all the time. And with Michigan basketball finally back, there's going to be a lot more. Well, I guess Michigan, everything back, basketball, hockey, there's going to be a lot of content on the YouTube channel. So be sure to look out for that as well. Be sure to rate and subscribe all our podcasts. We'd greatly appreciate it. Download our podcasts wherever you get them. So again, thank you all for listening. He's John Simmons. I am Vaughn Lozon. We'll be back next week. Go Blue.